One is a king, otherwise it's not a kingdom. The second one, a king cannot be king over the cats. Cats, pets, animals. C-A-T-S. Ladies, you need to improve your accent. For this we have Simba, the Lion's King. A king needs nation to rule over, yes or not. And a king cannot rule a nation in the sky, you know, floating on the clouds. They need a territory. They need a land. Kingdom, by definition, needs to be here on earth. And it will be on earth, beloved. Who is Israel, beloved? Are you ready? Let's go. Let's now start the teaching of today. When we start dealing with Israel, with the creation of man, because it's crucially important. Of course, it will look to basic stuff, but we need to build it, you know, build the foundation. We cannot just come to Israel, modern Israel now. Not even Israel in Yeshua's time. We need to know the development, the biblical pattern, okay? Here we have, who are those sweethearts? I think she put too much makeup, but we'll forgive her. Oh, look how nice. Callings on Adam's life. You remember what was the callings? Please keep it in mind because you will see that it is repeated. Shalom. Wow. I did not recognize you. Hallelujah. Good friend of mine, Roxana. Be fruitful. Keep those in mind because you will see it will repeat itself with all of God's chosen people, okay? We are called to be fruitful, rulers, to rule what? All that God created. Remember that we are heirs of God. We talked about our inheritance. We inherit all that God has, all that God created. Yeah, we just said it, yeah. Be God's ambassadors on earth. Aren't we called to be? Also in the New Testament, right? And of course, you know what those pictures, drawing, speak about. Man fall separates him from the garden and from his creator. God supplies the means. Remember, the very first sacrificial, the blood sacrificial was, or animal sacrificial was in the garden. Beloved, I want to shock you. While everybody says that this was the very first animal to be sacrificed, where is it written really in the Bible that God took a lamb and slaughtered it? Can you find me one verse? Silence. You see how we talk in slogans and we don't even check? Yes, it was skin tunics. But skin tunics can be also, are you ready for the shocking news, out of a man. I cannot explain it, it's mystical. But friends, when I read Revelation, I see the slaughtered Lamb of God from before the foundation of the earth. Yeshua is described as one who was slaughtered already back in the garden. I'm just suggesting it. Don't need to swallow whatever I tell you. I just say that this is the connection. He is, how can he be slaughtered? Check me. There is a verse in Revelation. How can he be slaughtered from before the foundation? Remember cyclical? The beginning and the end are the same. Just a thought. Okay? Let's continue. The father of our faith, who is this man? I'm jumping over Noah, of course, Shem and all this, yeah? Over the flood, and we get to the first man who lived on planet Earth and was called by God to go to leave a specific location on planet Earth and to go to a different location on planet Earth. Who is this man? Good. He's our father, right? Why are we not called the sons of Shem, the sons of Noah, the sons of Enoch, sons of Elijah? They were spiritual people, right? I think even more than Abraham. But Abraham is the first one to leave a certain place. Who remembers where he lives? Ur of Chaldeans came, but where is it? In relationship to Israel, direction, orientation. East. Where was first Adam and Eve cast towards? East. You see the patterns? What is the orientation of the tabernacle and later on of the temple? East, west. Where is the sinner coming back to God? From the east to the west. Do you see it? What is directly east of Jerusalem? Babylon. How many of you believe that the Garden of Eden is in Iraq? Forget about it. You cannot be, what was the word that I invented in English? You cannot be wronger. The Garden of Eden is Jerusalem. And rabbis know it long before. The garden is Jerusalem. That's why where Adam fell, that's where Adam, second Adam, comes to redeem his descendants. Cyclical, cyclical. The beginning and the end are the same. Make sense? Where does the Son of the Living God coming to reign on earth? In Baghdad? God forbid. Babylon. Babylon is the contrast, is the antithesis of Jerusalem. He reigns in Jerusalem. Why do you think? Why do you think Satan uses Jerusalem and the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, yeah? As the feast against Israel. And why is Satan now controlling the Mount, Temple Mount? Because he was there once. And he wants still to come back there. So Abraham is the first one who is called from a certain location on planet Earth, Babylon, sin, harlotry, to a land which God calls the land of Eden. Let's continue with Abraham. God shows an instrument. Abraham is God's chosen instrument to bless all humanity, right? You know it, right? The promises of God to Abraham will be a great nation. Come on. Will be blessed and be a blessing to others. Friends will be blessed. You know, enemies will be cursed. I'm talking about Genesis 12, of course, and onward, yeah? Land of Canaan to his descendants forever. Forever is forever. Right? Let's continue. Descendants will be like the stars, father of many nations. You saw the emphasis that I put in yellow, many nations. Who is Israel? Soon we'll get there. God is Lord forever to him and his descendants, and you see the scriptures there, okay, the reference. God's promises passed down to Isaac and Jacob. Are you following still? Everybody's awake? You have all the references. You know, again, this is basic stuff before we get into deeper waters, okay? Jacob's name is changed to what? Before he comes to where? Israel. Remember where it is taking place? After he paid for his sin against Esau, his brother, he's now coming back to the land. He needs to be changed before he can cross over. Okay, we are going to talk about it tomorrow, how to prepare for the hardships which are ahead of us around the corner. His name is changed into Israel, of course, by the way, which means the one who quarreled, who wrestled with God and with people and succeeded or sustained. This is the meaning of Sarah El, Israel. The Hebrew word, one of the modern words today which is used in a political realm, is Sar. Sar, a minister, from Sar-El, okay? Because Sar is a ruler, okay? You call it, by the way, in Hebrew, in English, prince. Prince of peace. In Hebrew, it's Sar Shalom. Okay, his offsprings are the house of Jacob, but are they named only the house of Jacob? Nope. They are named the house of Israel. Am I correct? You read your Bible once, right? And the sons of Israel. Here are all the references. If you want, gladly I will pass it on to you. You can just take a concordance like I did, or just read the Bible. Okay? Of course, come on. Now we start to get into deep waters. Are you ready, beloved? My beloved, please open your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's read a little bit from there. And look at the title that I put on the slide. Walking in our Father's footsteps. You remember I just mentioned before that the very story of our salvation is patterned after the Exodus out of Egypt. Yes or no? I'm going to prove what I say now. Let's read. 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware, or by the way, other way to say it, ignorant. Many people in the church, unfortunately, are very ignorant of the very truth that Paul is going to share with us. That all, look at me, all our fathers, he does not say, Paul is a Jew who speaks to mostly Gentiles there in Corinth. He doesn't say, I want you not to be unaware that my fathers, etc., etc., our fathers, he considers them as part of this heritage, okay? Our fathers, and he does not speak about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, soon you will see, were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. Abraham did not pass through the sea. Nor Jacob, nor Isaac. Nor Isaac, nor Jacob, yeah? Friends, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Are you following? All ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Messiah. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Turn with me to Hebrews 3, please. Verse 12. Be aware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. By the way, I guess, you correct me if I'm wrong, I guess the book of Hebrews was written to believers, right? This is a warning to believers not to lose it. Once saved, always saved. Let's continue. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Can a believer of Messiah, can a follower of Yeshua be hardened because of sin? Yep, he can. There are no hocus pocus solution, and salvation is not a McDonald's fix. The sinner prayer, or whatever you call it, or however you became a believer, is only the beginning of the journey. It's a journey. And you know how long it takes? Lifetime. For we have become partakers of Messiah. If, oh gosh, I wish this word would not be canonized, right? The word if. If we all, the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Our salvation story is patterned after the Exodus out of Egypt. Did I make my point? Do you agree with me, or should we go to 1 Peter? Because 1 Peter 2, the other reference, says that we are called to be a kingdom of priests. royal kingdom of priests. Excuse me, we? This was given in Exodus to the children of Israel. Who is Israel? Let's continue. Israel is in Egypt. Let's go through the history of Israel. It's very important. Over 400 years, yes or no? Yep. I mean, you cannot say no because you will argue with the reference that I gave you. You know, I'm smart. I don't want to argue with me, so I always back up myself with scriptures, yeah? She is delivered by Moses, right? Yep. Who came out of Egypt under Moses' leadership? Oh, really? The Jews? Let's check it out. Of course, Israel, right? But was Israel alone? Were they alone? By the way, where I should skip the age, I know. you know, I'm Israeli, yeah? Nope. They were not. They were adjoined by a mixed multitude. And if you have the reference, here it is. Beloved, as in the beginning, so it is in the end. As the first Exodus out of Egypt, so it is in the second Exodus of Egypt, where we were exodused out of this world, Egypt. Who was exodused out of the world, Egypt, in the beginning? Israel. But they were joined by some mixed multitudes. Yes or no? Let's continue. They wander for 40 years in the wilderness, and I'm talking about those Israel and the mixed multitudes. And guess what? I will put it later on, I think, in a slide, if I remember. Anyway, correctly. Friends, at Mount Sinai, we do not read the Mount Sinai event narrative. We don't see that God told Moses, please separate between the different houses of Israel, the claims, you know, the tribes, as they, you know, do not, and put a high fence, because they are mine, and they are secondary, second-class citizens. At the feet of Mount Sinai, there was only one body called Israel. Nevertheless, there were also the mixed multitudes together with them as first-class citizens. Sounds familiar to you? They enter the promised land under Joshua's leadership. And look at this one. Within the promised land, they are joined by more of those mixed multitudes. For example, two examples, I guess, two or three. Rahab, Azonah, the Rahab, the harlot, right? Ruth, of course, all the book of Ruth, yeah? Foreign wives of different kings. Beloved, who had joined themselves to the chosen people, and they were not considered second-class citizens. For example, Ruth, through conversion, through adjoining to the people of Israel. Your people are my people. Your land is my land. Your God is my God. Wherever you will bury, I shall be buried. Yes or no? Was Ruth later on called a Gentile second-class citizen? Uh-uh. It's one body called Israel. But it's not purely Jews. Until the end of Solomon's kingdom, beloved, Israel is what? One body. Yes or no? The kingdom of Israel. Solomon is king. Nevertheless, in Rehoboam's time, his son, division into two houses. It's all biblical. The house of Israel and the house of Judah, you can read it yourself. In 721, 3, whatever, yeah? BCE, by the way, BCE, before Common Era. Because there are Jewish scholars who don't like to say before Christ and after Dominus, AD, after the Lord's time, yeah? So they put BCE, before Common Era, and CE, Common Era, okay? The house of Israel is taken into Assyria, remember, right? Sennacherib? Yeah. 586, 7 BCE, house of Judah is taken to Babylon. Beloved, let's continue. A minority of the house of Judah are joined by some families. And here I must make a pause and tell you something. Warn you. You know me already for more than 1.5 evening. Do you think that I'm trying to tickle your ears? Do I leave you with this impression? Do I seem to you politically correct? So let me continue with this attitude because I cannot change. I'm not here to satisfy anyone's man-made doctrine. And right now, I'm telling you, straightforward, once I believed in a doctrine called the Two Houses Doctrine. Some of you must have heard about it. Not anymore. It's like Swiss cheese with many holes. Like every man's made doctrine. It has faults, but it has some truth to it. And Paul, my instructor, told me to take whatever, to check everything, to take the good and to trash the rest. The problem of humanity is that they take the good and the evil, deceived by the devil, and they make a big balloon out of small truth. That's how the Mormons started, that's how Jehovah's Witnesses, and that's how the Two Housers started. I am not a Two Houser, but I will share with you the truth according to my understanding of scriptures, and I myself might be wrong. It's up to you to check it, okay? You are not going to be judged according to Rami Danieli, but according to what you did with what anybody gave you, yeah? So, a minority of the house of Judah are joined by some families, and this is biblically, from the house of Israel are back in the land. Israel in the first century, a body comprised of a majority of Jews. The Jews are named after two. Judah, the tribe, and Judea, the tribe, area, you know, lot that they were given, okay? Judea and Judah. That's where we have the term Jew, okay? My beloved, for example, and this is very important to even pause here and say it clearly. For example, Doc, my friend, raise your hand. I love you. You are now living in Ephraim, in one of the territories of Ephraim. You are Danites, Issacharic, or whatever. Naphtalite, yeah? Name it. Zebulun, yeah? You decided with Nancy, your wife, Nancy, you know, you speak one night and say, we are broke here. Not enough business here. Let's move to Jerusalem. Let's move to Judea. I'm talking about before Yeshua's time, yeah? So they leave, and guess what will happen with Doc and Nancy, which were known as Ephraimites? After a few years, they are already Jews. Everybody who dwelt in the territory of Judah automatically was called Jew. Check the history. Okay? So it's not actually truth what the Two Housers claim, that when Yeshua was here 2,000 years ago, Judah was there, and the Israelites who are lost are all the Gentiles in the church. Wrong. The body called Israel in the first century in the land of Israel was comprised both by Jews, Judah, and Israelites. How do I know it? For God's sake, I read my Bible. When was the last time you read Luke? There is a woman who is from the tribe of Issachar. Penina, remember? We anticipate the Messiah. There were others in the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, which were Israelites who came back to to the land together with Judea. So there is a mixture of Jews, Israelites, remember the two houses, the division, who are in the land of Israel, and all of them are called Jews. Are you with me? Because most of them are in the land of Judea. Okay? So, majority of Jews, Judah, and a minority of Israelites or Ephraimites. Why Ephraim? Because Ephraim was a synonymous term, because it was the largest tribe. It became, especially in the book of Hosea, synonymous term to the house of Israel. When you see in the Bible, house of Ephraim, it means the house of, you know, the 10 tribes. Okay? The northern kingdom. Let's continue. Most of Ephraim, house of Israel, are lost within the Gentile world. Beloved, look at me. I have a question, and let's see. I want to check if you know your Bible. Are you ready? Don't worry, I will not embarrass you. It's an easy question. When God created Adam and Eve, who was a Jew, who was a Gentile between them? Of course, I'm sarcastic. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, did they have the Torah? Nope. There was no need for such, because the Torah is given for transgressors, sinners. Read what Paul says. Beloved, among their children, Shet, you know, and who was a Jew? Sorry. Who belonged to the house of Judah and who belonged to the house of Ephraim? I'm continuing to be sarcastic. You can smile, it's good. Absurd, right? No such a division. God never called us for divisions. God always wanted us, like Adam and Eve, to be one. So why do you think that God, Shaul, Paul asked this very important question. What? Is he the God of the Jews? Remember? No, he's the God of the Gentiles. You Gentiles were always, I wanted to be encouraged, were always from before the foundation of the earth in God's mind in regard to salvation. Remember Noah? We are not descendants anymore of Adam and Eve. I mean, yes, but more specifically from the three sons, remember, of Noah. I don't have the time, really, Greg gave me another hour, I think. And we are Semites, Israel, right? Biblically. From the son, Shem. He said that Japhet, from the word beauty, will sit in the tents of Shem. The rabbis always understood it not as just tents, you know, because they are hot in the desert, so they need some shade or air condition. No. Tents as a picture of Torah. The people of Shem will instruct Japhetites about God's ways, while Ham, as you call him, descendants will be servants to them. And the word in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, is not so nicely politically correct, servant. It's Eved, slave. Where are most of the slaves coming from in the world? From Africa. Look at the distribution of the dispersion of the three sons of Noah, and you will see Africa, Egypt, for instance, Ham. Okay? Always you were in God's mind. Jonah, you remember Jonah? He goes to where? To Jaffa on his escape from God calling. Yes or no? I want you to look at Jonah as a picture of Israel, who is called to be a light to the nations. Israel was not God's chosen people to enjoy God's chosen peopleness. They were not called to be priests, royal kingdom, but to provoke Gentiles, the other descendants of Adam and Eve, where there was no Jew Gentile. Please come in. Come into the tents of Shem. And they missed it. Yeshua, of course, does it. Jonah is called to go to Nineveh, picture of the world. Are you with me? Where does he depart from? Jaffa. Peter, who was given the keys of the kingdom. Remember? Matthew 16, after his great confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? Beloved, both to the Jews and the Gentiles. It is not true that Paul opened the way to the Gentiles. It is first Peter. Peter, in Acts chapter 2, opens the way to the Jews first, remember? And almost 3,000 are saved. You remember the stories, right? Later on, he is the first who is called to the Gentiles, Cornelius. Where? In Jaffa. Is it a coincidence? Jonah in Jaffa, called to the Gentiles. Peter in Jaffa. Always the Gentiles were in God's mind and in God's plan. You are beloved people of God. Not at all, not an inch on our alpha inch less than the Jews. But nevertheless, there is only one way to enjoy God's promises, God's blessings, and the only way is to go into the tents of Shem. Join Israel, like Ruth did it, like Rahab. No salvation without the Jews. No salvation out of the framework called Israel. Let's continue. Only about 5 or 10 minutes, and then we will. Come on. No, I don't want it. Just a second. We don't have the time for all of this, even though it's very important. Just a second. Let's go to this one. The mystery. Paul calls it mystery in his writings. The two who became one. Beloved, is this a New Testament doctrine? Nope. Ask any rabbi, what will be the main job of the Messiah of Israel when he comes? You know, those who don't believe that Yeshua is the Messiah.